This is Jewish Board Talk with Cherise Zifford, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
Historically, the nation of Israel consisted of 12 tribes. However, today the Jewish people primarily descend from the kingdom of Judah, which consisted of 2.5 tribes. The rest were displaced by the Syrians and dispersed around the world. Where did they go? Belgian journalist and explorer is on a personal quest to uncover the descendants and will be here in South Africa in September to meet with the Lemba community. He's my guest now to tell me more. Armando, welcome and thanks so much for joining me.
Welcome. Thank you.
Armando, how did you get interested in discovering the lost tribes?
Well, the thing is, even when I was very young, as a child, I was passionate about traveling. Even if, when in the beginning I had to travel on maps and staying home. But when I had opportunity to travel, I started. So during my long career, I visited about 125 countries. And so not only to discover Jewish people or communities, but it was part of my traveling. And I said, as I visited the churches and mosques, why should I not visit synagogue? So wherever I had the opportunity to discover Jewish community, I went and I met some in Latin America, in Europe, of course, and then the last one. And then I started also discovering some communities where, the Jewishness, they didn't claim to be Jewish, although it was not very clear if they were. So I started some years ago. I was in East Russia, in a place called Birobidzhan, which is called the Red Zion, because the communists wanted to make it like a counterpart of Israel, which didn't succeed, but it was very interesting. And then also, I heard about, and it was very interesting, I was on an exhibition in Morocco. There was an exhibition of pictures. It was in a synagogue, and the picture were the Indian Jews, or the East Indian Jews. They called themselves Benashe, and I said, that might be interesting to visit them. So then I went to them, and I discovered them 2 years ago. And then last year, I get passionate in the story of the lost tribe, then I discovered the Igbos in Nigeria. And so this year, my intention is to come to South Africa and to meet the Lemba.
Can you tell me, and I know you've now met these different communities, what do they have in common and what do they have that's different?
Well, in common, I would say that they proclaim to be Jewish, even if their way of life is not the same. I mean, most of them, they are not the Hasidic type with the curls and the black heads, but they feel Jewish, even, and that's very interesting, even if the big question mark if they are really historical Jewish, but they feel Jewish. Now, the way they live is, even if some are more Ashkenazi, some are more Sephardic, some are more what they call the Mizrahi, they all have a way of praying, but they have, I would say the religion is quite common. What is different is how they feel toward their own country and toward Israel. So some people are, I would say, very nationalistic. They feel like we are Jewish, but we are part of the country. As an example, I always give, even if the situation now is a bit different, but Jews in Iran. People in Iran, the Jews, I met them, they say, we are Jews, but we are Iranian. We live here for 2,500 years, so why should we immigrate? Some others, they don't feel really home because of maybe political or other situation. And the example is of Jews in India, especially in East India, Mizoram, where there's kind of civil war going on. So they don't feel very happy about the economical and political situation. So their dream is one day, let's go and let's move to Israel. That's their dream. Now, if I take the Igbos last year, it was very interesting that they felt very comfortable. They lived as Jews in Nigeria. They felt Nigerian, but they were Jewish, but they didn't think about immigrating. Their only concern was, be recognized as Jews. And that's a big
Yeah,
issue, huh?
that is difficult. In terms of finding the communities, is it easy to find, was it easy to find Jews in Iran?
Well, in Iran, it was not, because there is no directory or no public information about it. But I knew there were some Jews. So my concern was, how should I meet them? And then, I don't know how, but maybe I had some prejudice, like many people have about Jews. There must be some dealing in gold and jewelry. So I thought, well, if I go to the bazaar in Tehran, probably I will meet some Jews there. And so I went there and I saw there was a section where there was selling gold and diamond and jewelry. And I was looking, can I and ask her, are there some Jews there? And the woman said, yeah, the next door, our neighbor here is Jewish. So I went there and I met them. And since then, I still have a contact with them, and regularly up to 5 years. 5 years have stopped, and I went to Iran a few times. So I met them in Iran, in Isfahan, etc., in Tehran, in Isfahan, in other countries.
To some extent, I mean, it is interesting to say how they all identify as Jews in different ways. In terms of prayer and structure, do they all have something similar where they pray and how they pray?
Well, the thing is, of course, if you take like Iranian Jews where they have a tradition and the way they it's quite old and a traditional way of doing, even if there is some influence of I would say the Mizrahi or the Sephardic Jews, but some other. If I take the Bnei Menashe, and I think the Hebrew was the same, for years they didn't have any contact with Jewish communities. So they just had some stories and they had some customs that remind them, and that's why they say, like the Menashe, let's say for when it was April, beginning of the spring, they had a meal together and they had some special bread, which is not... So they say, well, this is that's a Pesach, that's the Seder. And so, and then they said, oh, that's a sign we are Jewish. And then after then, some rabbis came mostly from Israel, from other countries. And then they teach them about modern Jewry and all the customs that we know. And so now when you go to synagogue in Mizoram, you feel like it's not different than a synagogue in South Africa or in Belgium, the way they pray.
Also, you speak about historically Jewish and also not being recognized. For you, you work on if people self-identify as Jewish, they're Jewish. Do you think it's possible to ever prove that kind of Jewishness, to kind of find that connection between the lost tribes?
Well, they tried, and they tried. Some do it by finding the way back, how they immigrated and how they get there. Like in some other, they just say about a tradition. Like I gave the example of the Menashe, but really a proof? There is no really proof. They did some DNA test. They did it on the Igbos, they did it on the Bnei Menashe, I think. They also did it on the Lemba. I don't think it really proved anything. And again, for me, that's not important. For me, well, I'm not Orthodox, so I don't follow the Halakha in that sort of sense. For me, to be Jewish doesn't mean that you do have to have a Jewish mother. For me, if you feel Jewish and you live and you want to be Jewish, well, who am I to say you are not?
With regards to the Lemba, you coming to visit them actually over Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about what you'll be doing here in South Africa.
Okay. So it happens to be around Rosh Hashanah because I thought that's the best moment to visit. But the other reason is, and that I found out with Tadiki, he told me that I arrived in South Africa on the 10th of September, and on, I think, the 14th of September, the Lemba have an annual meeting in Sweetwater, And so I thought, well, that's very interesting to be there and to participate. Of course, I also hope to meet them in their environment, not only in this annual congress.
Yeah, I do know we have a very active and proud Lemba community here in South Africa. My last question to you, Armando, is that you'll also be talking at the Johannesburg Holocaust and Genocide Centre.
Yeah, about this Holocaust thing is, well, I happen to have a family living in Johannesburg. He is from Belgium. He's quite, well, kind of cousin. And he lived in Johannesburg, and he married to a South African Jewish girl. And last 2 years ago, 3 years ago, they were in Belgium because his mother passed away, so they came here for the Shiva. And then we talked about she told me that she was active in the Holocaust Museum in Johannesburg, and she also wanted to visit the memorial in Belgium, which is Caserne d'Ossan. That's where the Jews were deported to Auschwitz. And so I visited with her. Also, I happened to be a guide during that for a few years. So we visited the Holocaust, and then she said, "Okay, we have also a Holocaust Museum in Johannesburg. If you are there, please come to visit her." And then we talk, well, about, well, I say my very childhood, because I am a hidden child. I was born during World War II. I was 3 weeks old when my mother had to hide me. So I went to a, she said she's put me in a Catholic institute where I spent most of the years. And then in this museum, they also asked me, "Oh, can you talk about your life as Jewish, as a hidden child?" I said, "Well, I was 3 years old when the war ends. So what can I tell?" But I made some research, and now I can make a presentation about my life there and about my family and what happened during the war.
Armando, I look forward to catching up with you when you are in South Africa, in Johannesburg. In the meantime, good luck with discovering the 10 lost tribes. And thanks for
Okay,
joining me.
thank you.
That was Armando Schmidt, Belgian journalist and explorer who'll be in South Africa looking for the lost tribe.